Okay, good enough. Okay, so we are holding on Erevin. Today's daf is Erevin daf Memches. We left off with Mizayin of a Beis. Just a quick, two interesting really discussions that are very brief. The whole daf in general moves quite quickly tonight that I had with Rabbi Kanner on Erev Shabbos regarding relating to yesterday's daf. First of all, we had discussed the chafetzim of Hefker. Of Hefker, yes. And chafetzim of Akum. And we want to know if it's the same thing when a machlekes bechefzi Hefker, if it gets a din of 2,000 amas. Rabbi Yechon Marie says, yes. It automatically gets a tchum of 2,000 amas. And the Rabbanan says, no, it gets no tchum. Chefzi Hefker, don't get any tchum. And the lush actually is it gets karagli kaladam, which we'll discuss more today. What exactly that means. What does that mean, karagli kaladam? We'll speak on machlekes shen about that. But the point is, the chafetzim of a guy, there's a conversation, is that like chefzi Hefker? Or no? Chavetz Magai, since it belongs to the guy, and the guy himself has no tchum, therefore the items have no tchum, and that seems to be the Gemara's inclination, that's just like the guy himself has no tchum, his chavetz have no tchum. So Rabbi Kanner posed to me a question the opposite vein. What about the other way? What if a person is out of a tchum? We're saying the chavetz of a yid would have his tchum. What if a person, let's say, lives in Toronto, and he's spending Shabbos in New York, and you're in his house, let's say it's a family member, a child, a sibling, a spouse, and you want to use their scarf. You want to use an item that belongs to them. So Pasha, you'd say, it's no problem because I'm borrowing the scarf. What's the big deal? If that person's in New York, Toronto's way out of their tchum, his chafetzim have his tchum. So his chafetz now is out of its tchum. It's restricted to it. It's the same discussion. If you don't even have four amas, so the chayra, would it be a problem? You can't take it to shul. You can't wear it. Erev, no issue of it. You're in a place with this Erev, no issue of carrying. The problem is the chayv itself is restricted to its place. He lets you borrow it. No issue also. The chayv is restricted to its place. So the shayla was posed to Rav Vosner, and unbelievable. I couldn't believe that it's major chiddush. He said, it sounded like chiddush to me, but I guess logically it makes perfect sense. He says, absolutely. It would be usur. So basically, if your son, let's say, is out of town, and he left a scarf by you, and of course, he doesn't mind if you use it, or vice versa, if the father's out of town, and the son wants to use the father's scarf, and assuming the case of the father clearly is not makbin, no issue of gzelo or whatever, of rishus, he still couldn't use it, because since that person's kaina, their tchum, and their chafetzim get their tchum, therefore taking the chafetz out of its daramas would be problematic, unbelievable, it sounds mind-boggling, I would not be able to use, my son is away in yeshiva, I can't use his scarf to go to shul on Shabbos, unbelievable. Now, it's actually not just Shevet Levi. It's not Shevet Levi. One second. There's another discussion that he brought up with his, he brought this up with his Ilam. His shear is about 4 or 5 blocks behind, but he brought up the child a few nights ago, and he asked the Ilam, what happens if a person is start Shabbos, he has a tchum, and the tchum ends in the middle of the city. So, but we know the city has Din of Dalet Amos. So could the person traverse the whole city or not? So he said, the Olam answered, just matter-of-factly, that they can traverse the whole city because the city has Din of Dalet Amos. I said, some of you are making faces. What's the problem with that? It's a black and white Mishnah where we had a discussion that if a person starts his chum outside the city, he gets till the 2,000 Amos, and wherever that point is in the middle of the city, his chum stops. What was his Olam's confusion? Because they just had the sugya of Rabbi Gamliel, where Gamliel and Rabbi Zerai said that if a goyim take a person out of their tchum and pluck them down either in the middle of a city or in the middle of an enclosure, like an enclosed area, like a room, we say the whole room is like Dalet Amos, or the whole city, Machlekes Rishonim by the whole city, is it one of the cities enclosed and unenclosed? The whole room is like Dalet Amos, the whole city is like Dalet Amos, and therefore he gets the whole city. So listen to what's going on over here. It's counterintuitive. A person who is within his tchum, and his tchum ends in the middle of a city, he does not get to traverse the rest of that same city. Right? Again, a person started outside the tchum.
Well, he didn't know the city was there.
No, even if he did. Even if he did.
No, that was
Agamar's. Oh, yes. If a person has a mind to make the city, yes, very good point, Les. Yes. That's what we just said much more recently. That's correct. If a person was awake before and he had a mind, I want to be part of that city, which is all shallow how that works. We're even sure how that works. He's not there. He's out of the city, but since it's within the tchum and he has a mind, I want to be there, he gets the whole city. That is correct. You're absolutely right. But in a regular case where a person, let's say he sets up a tchum outside the city, but he makes a real tchum, he's awake, he's not sleeping, he's awake, he makes a tchum, and he makes a shvisa, and his 2,000 amas end, let's just say, 1,000 amas into the city, that's all he gets, he can't go further. That same person, once he broke his tchum, let's say, once he's out of his tchum, according to Rangomil, according to Mazariah, he would actually be able to traverse the entire city, because once he's out of his tchum, he gets a new tchum of Dalet Amos, and his new tchum Dalet Amos would be the whole city. So ironically enough, the guy who's out of his tchum has a bigger boundary now than the person who's still within his tchum. It's just a very ironic outcome that comes out from these various dinim. So Shartzian, actually ties these two things together. Punkt in a psak in the Sharatzian. He writes about a person who has a 2,000 amah matrum that ends in the middle of a city. And he writes, what if that person has chafetzim that are on the other side of the, wouldn't be so uncommon. He has a tchum in the middle of the city, maybe he's actually part of that city on more than occasion, and he has some chafetzim of his that are outside of his 2,000 amah limit. So he has to stop, he has a space in the middle of the city where he's gotta stop, he can't go further. His chafetzim are on the other side. Not only can he go further, says Shatzian, no one else could use his chafetzim that are on the other side of this boundary. Why? The idea that we said before with the scarf. Because this person's trum ends by that boundary in the middle of the city, where his 2,000 amas ends. That's where his trum ends. His chafetzim are really belong to him. They're restricted to his trum. This chafetz is out of his trum because it's on the other side of the boundary. And therefore, not only can he access it, obviously, but other people wouldn't be able to use it either. Even if he gives permission, they wouldn't be able to use it. To me, I found this to be a massive, I see some of you are in agreement, a massive chiddush. It just does sounds too wild. But again, that's the Shevet Halevi. Shevet Halevi is itself.
Basically, I said already, so I'm out. But normally, the way I understood it is something that was kind of shvisa with you, and you have 2,000 amas. Your chafetzim are kind of shvisa with you, so somebody else who intersects your 2,000 amas can't take it to his. But if I wasn't even able to get to that chafetz, I've lost my bias, the gabi.
Okay, so I suggested something. So I'm not the exact same. I hear what you're saying. I suggest something to Rabbi Kanner regarding She'ela. He brought down, I forgot from who, from some of the, I think Rabbi Vosna even bavarns this and dismisses it, but brought down, I wanted to say that yes, it is Rabbi Vosna in the Tshuva. He read it to me. That if I wanted to suggest that, let's say my son's scarf, if he lets me use it, and we know he lets me use it, so it's as if I borrowed it. If I borrowed something, for sure it gets my tchum. So therefore, the scarf should get my tchum. So Reb Vozer bavarns that idea by saying, ulai, if the person makes a declaration, all my chafetzim are good for everyone to use them, ulai, that would work. So very, very clear. Who makes the declaration? When you travel, it's understood that you let people use your stuff. But to make the declaration, you don't make the declaration. He says, even then, even if you make the declaration, ulai, certainly in most scenarios in our world, where of course people let each other use their things, but they don't make the declaration, it would not be good, l'chayra. That's so he's bavarning the possibility and still saying it's no good. Okay, very interesting. Bottom line of the page, mem zayin beis. Tani,
Rabchia.
Rabchia, chayrim shebein trumein Shabbos. A chayrim is like a net. It's actually more like a fishing net. It was placed between two Trum Shabbos, which means like this. You had a body of water, and the body of water in the center of it was the end of one Trum, one area's Trum, and the other side of it was part of another area's Trum. So you have two, let's say we call two cities, two cities, and the body of water is in between them, and the Trum from each city ends in the middle of this water. So what's the halacha? Sarech, top of Mem Ches Med Aleph, Sarech, Mechitza shall barzel afsika. You need a mechitza barzel to separate it. Meaning, it's not good enough. This fishnet, which Rashi explains, by the way, on the bottom of the Rashi explains this fishnet was made of reeds. It was made of reeds, which we'll see. It'll come up in the Gemara later, shortly. As Rashi's collecting it now already. It was made of reeds. That's not good enough. You need a metal partition to separate it in order to be able to draw water from city A. They could draw water on their side of the partition, and city B can draw water on their side of the partition. That is the statement that Rabbi Chiya taught from a brisa. Rabbi Chiya taught a brisa with that halacha. Mechayich l'Rabbi Yosi bar Chanina. So the obvious issue, I mean, the Gemara is going to discuss what the potential issues are in a second, but the obvious problem is some sort of problem of tchum, that the water, otherwise the waters are mixing, and you have an issue of water that was within this tchum is going to that tchum and vice versa, and therefore you have a problem. So in order to be able to draw water and have the water be within my tchum, the whole Shabbos, you need to have a metal partition. So Mechayich l'Rabbi Yosi bar Chanina, Rabbi Yosi bar Chanina left at Rabbi Chiya's braisev, strong. He laughed at it. My time of mechayich. The Gemara said, "Why is mechayich?" The Gemara is going to make four answers. The fourth one's going to stick. Four explanations and why Rabbi Yosi Chanina laughed at this memra. Meaning, the Gemara is going to bring up four potential explanations with problems of why this the braisev is shver. So, explanation number one: My time of mechayich. Why did he laugh? Ilem b'shem detani leiv kerbi echad amenuri. Simple, because Rabbi Chiya was teaching like a mechamiru lechumra. Meaning, this water was ownerless. And you're telling me the water, even though it's ownerless, is being kind of a status of shvisa, to have a boundary, to have a tchum. That's Rabbi Yechon Anuri Shita, which we use the kula. Remember in the Mishnah, Rabbi Yechon Anuri allowed a person who fell asleep without being kind of shvisa to get 2,000 amas. That was a kula. But now you're applying Rabbi Yechon Anuri also the chumra, v'yu sabalei karban and kula. And yet, Rabbi Yosef Chanina, he says, We hold it to Rabban Lakula. You don't go like Rabbi Yechim Ben-Uri. And therefore, he laughed at the Memra. You're being busy with the metal partition because you look at Rabbi Yechim Ben-Uri L'chumra to say the water is kind of shvisa without, even though there's no, even though it's hefker. It's not true. It's not true. We go Lakula like the Rabbanan, and therefore it's not a problem. Even so, so that's a good explanation in the argument of Mishim de Kasav Lakula. Because Rabbi Yisbech Hanina holds the kula, he's going to laugh at Rabbi Chiyo teaches a brayis of the chumra because he holds the kula. Since when is that reason enough to laugh? It's just a machlekes based on the Tanayim. So the Teres Chaim actually addresses. What do you mean? We just had a couple of bar ago halacha kedivrei hamekel beirav. That was a big klal. He kept stressing in Rabbi Yechim Ben-Uri went back and forth. It was two separate memras. We passed Rabbi Yechim Ben-Uri as one memra, and he said halacha kedivrei hamekel beirav, and went there. Why need both memras? One of the answers were because Rabbi Yechim Ben-Uri goes both Rabbi Yechim Ben-Uri's din could be both a kula and a chumra, and therefore we have to stress that. It's when he's makel, not when he's not makel. So maybe once we have such a well known dictum that halacha is kedivrei makel beirav, maybe that's why he's laughing. And Teres Chaim, I don't know if he answers Teres Kasha, but he addresses it and says that even though we know halacha is kedivrei makel, we still have a klal and shas that we always like to teach the opinion of both sides. We know Beis Hillel, we actually pask like Beis Hillel, because they used to always take efforts to do what? To teach Beis Shammai's shita first, and then teach their shita. Meaning, I didn't hold of it, obviously, but they would teach the other side first, then their shita. There's an idea of Eilu Veil Divid Kim Chayim, there's an idea of teaching the other side first, or teaching the other side as well, even when you don't hold the side. And therefore, says Teres Chaim, that's the Mar's Kash over here. You're going to tell me, you know why he left? Because you know halacha is kedivrei makel, that's not a reason to laugh. You still would teach the other side. Even if we know the Pesach is halacha divrei mekel, you still teach the other side. Now what comes out is very important detail. According to this, Teres Chaim is learning that at this point that Tani Reb Chiya means he taught it just to teach the other side. But even Reb Chiya didn't agree to it. That's what comes out according to Teres Chaim. Tani Reb Chiya, this brisa that you need to have a metal partition, not that he himself even agrees that they just come to teach the other side, and therefore we're still bothered, even though we don't pass the way, and even though halacha divrei mekel, why would Reb Chiya laugh at it? It's very interesting. It makes sense to teach the other side, and therefore that can be a reason to laugh at it. That can't be the pshat in this discussion. Ella, new issue. Again, Gemara, we had a couple of bad ago. The Mishnah of Tanya, Nahares HaMayishchim HaMayinus HaNevim, we learned in the brisa that the rivers that are moving and the springs that are flowing, Harek Ragli Kodam, they have the din of Ragli Kodam, meaning because they're moving, this is the idea of Maynard Naidi we had a couple of bad ago, something that's moving does not get a Makam Shvisa. And therefore, maybe the question was, maybe the reason why Besach Hanina was laughing at this Bremer Rav Chiya is because since the word is moving, what are you busy with partitions and you're busy with Chumim? It's moving, it doesn't have Makam Shvisa. If it doesn't have Makam Shvisa, it is Karagli Kodam. By the way, what does it mean Karagli Kodam? So Taisvis, the Baam Taisvis, Zayin Bay says, what we've been saying throughout the Sugya, we had this a couple of months ago as well, we actually had this also, I think yesterday's daf, and today's daf, the idea of rain that fell on our Yontif, we said it's Karagli, rain that fell on Yontif. We said Karagli Kodam, we've been Taisvis like Taisvis on the Baam Zayin Bay, which is, like the first person who picks it up. The first person who picks it up, whatever his Raglayim is, whatever his Tchum is, that's the Tchum that it gets. But so yesterday, the other Rishen and Taka argue, and they say Karagli Kodam means literally, whoever has it now, whatever his tchum is. So if Reuven gets it first, and his tchum is to this point, it can go to there. If then it gets transferred to Shimon, and Shimon has different tchum than Reuven, it can go to Shimon's tchum. Okay. But the point is, the question over here is that maybe since it's moving water, therefore he was laughing, what's he busy with tchum? There's no tchum by moving water. Says the Gemara of Dilma Mechnasim. So that's not a taina because you don't see clear in the Braisa that Reb Chiya was talking about moving water. It could be very, he's talking about a lake. It could be very, water between two cities. It's very possible, very, very, very common for it to be a lake, and therefore you can't. Why would he laugh and say, "What's your brisa?" Maybe the brisa talking about where it's mechnasim, and you have no kasha. That can't be pshat either. Ella, rather, let us say it's mishum. Let us say it's for the following reason: mishum that he's laughing. Mishum detani tzerch mechitza shabaros lav sikai, that you need a metal mechitza to be mafsik. Let's think what's going on over here. Maishna karam delay. Why is karam no good? And now you know where Rashi got it from, where he touched that the mechitza that was there thus far was a mechitza of reeds. The fishnet was made of reeds. Why was that not good? Ayla b'maya, because obviously water goes through it. So nu, shalbar zonami, ayla b'maya. A mechitza of iron too. Well, you're going to make a mechitza into the water of metal, and it's going to be impenetrable. It's going to be waterproof, if not. So if water is moving through it, even less water than more water, so what? But if water is moving through it, what did you gain by mechitza shalbar? That was what he was laughing at. Tamar says, still, v'dilma tzarek v'yantar kanakamar. What type of titan is that? You're right. And Echrami, maybe the psak was you need a mechitza of barzel, meaning you need a airtight, a water sealed mechitza, and you'll never get it, and therefore you can't take out of the water. Maybe that's what the brisa means to say. You're interpreting the brisa wrong. Rav Chiya was teaching that you need to have. Rav Chiya's brisa was saying you need to have airtight, watertight, and you won't get it. And therefore, you can't draw from this water on Shabbos, either side of the Mechitza. So Mar still bothered. What was Rabbi Chanina laughing at? What was it? What was his interpretation of the Braisa? And what was his question? It says the Gemara finally, a pshat that sticks with, Elam Hashem de Kalu Shekilu Chavim Mayim. This is an idea we've had already multiple times in this Masechta. We had on Daf Yud Beis, we had on Daf Tezayin. It's going to come up again more Arichas on Daf Pei Vav. So the Gemara says, Mishum de Kalu Shekilu Chavim Mayim. It's a Kulu Chavim by water. Remember, we had the Shalik of Rav Tavla, the boy of Rav Tavla and Rav. Rav Tavla asked Rav as follows. Mechitza Tzluya. Let's say you have a ruin. And in the ruin, part of the wall, the base of the wall, got smashed. The base of the wall was damaged. So you're missing this. It's an area now that you could have, let's say, the case thing we said over there was like a little goat could walk in, a little ace could walk through it. So the mechitza from the ceiling, it's hanging. It's hanging down, but it's missing part of it at the bottom. Is that considered a mechitza still or not? Can it still be considered a mechitza to allow carrying inside the churva to still give a status of walls to be Rishus Yachid to be able to carry inside or not? Amar lei ein mechitza tluy materes el b'mayim. Mechitza tluy doesn't work except where? B'mayim. Kalo shakila b'cham b'mayim. It's a lien sechama make mayim. When we had early in Masechta, it was a menigay also by a boat. They wanted to create a mechitza outside the boat to be able to draw fresh water from the yam up onto the boat on Shabbos, so they made a mechitza. Then a mechitza is going to go all the way down. Mechitza went down into the tent vachem, into the water, and that was enough. We viewed it as if it goes all the way down, as if it's a full mechitza. It's a kula when it comes to drawing water. Remember, the whole dinner is only a rabbinic din to begin with. So when it comes to water, they're mekel. So that is why he was laughing. He was saying, "You're telling me a din of partition not being good and needing a better partition." We see very clearly over here that there's a din when it comes to water. We're mekel anyway. The chama mekel that in order to have accessibility to water, they're mekel to have a leniency legabe the mechitzas, and therefore, why would you be machmavir to require some sort of a strong, some sort of a more chashiv partition? Any mechitz that has a status, any sort of status mechitza should work. That is what he was laughing about. Okay. Says more further. There's actually a question we didn't speak out. I referenced the Bab Tesis. There was a question when we discussed that. That the Gemara's first option, where the Gemara was saying that maybe he's laughing because of Rebbe Manuri versus the Chamim, because of the saying the water has, as Rebbe Manuri says, the water gets a tchum, and the Rabbanan say the water doesn't have a tchum, and he's laughing because the Rabbanan go to Kula, so therefore we should go to the Rabbanan, the Kula in this case is no tchum. Taisus and the Baal Tais asked, what do you mean? But one of the cases we referenced when the discussion of Rebbe Manuri was a case where there was water right outside the city, and we said since it's standard that the people have a das to use the water outside the city, that water does get a tchum, like the people of the city. That's the Gemara we had just 2 days ago. There was such a svara that since the people of the city have a mind to use it, it gets a tchum of the people of the city. So why over here would they be laughing? Even the Rabbanan would agree that this water would have a tchum, not just Rebbe Manuri. And now that the water is mixing, the two waters are mixing, the waters on both sides of the mechitza are mixing, you should have a problem because some of the water was the waters, you're mixing waters from different tchumim. That is Tesis Kasha on the bottom of Mem Zayin Amud Beis, back from the Gemara on Mem Hey Amud Beis. That's Tesis Kasha. Lamaisa Tesis wants to answer that Hagufa, since the water keeps flowing around from one tchum to another tchum, therefore the people in that city wouldn't have thought about it to use it for Shabbos, therefore it remained ownerless, and once it's ownerless, once it's hefker, according to Rabbanan, according to Rebbe Chanina, it gets a tchum, but according to Rabbanan, it wouldn't get a tchum, and therefore the question still applies. Again, in the case of Daf Mem Hey, the reason why we said it gets a tchum and it's close to the city is because it remains in the tchum, it's not moving with waters that are outside the tchum, and therefore they haven't asked to use it, and therefore it works, that water is okay. This water, which is specifically moving from in and out of the tchum, back and forth, the people wouldn't have dasa about it, and therefore it wouldn't get a tchum. It would be considered like water of hefker, ownerless, and therefore you'd be able to have any tchum you want according to Rabbanan, not according to Rebbe Chanina, but according to Rabbanan, you would be able to have any tchum you want, and that was the deflection of that pshat. Okay, two dots. The Chum say he only has 4 amas. This, if you reminder, in the Mishnah we discussed, we actually referenced it before, a case where a person, let's say, fell asleep before Shabbos outside of the city. Rebbe Chanina says, no problem, he still gets 2,000 amas automatically. Chum say, no. He fell asleep outside of the city, was not kind of makush visa, does not get 2,000 amat chum, you know what he gets? He gets a 4 amat chum. This actually is going to vindicate, throughout the Masechta, we keep saying, and we talk about 4 amat chum, is it really 4 amas? Is it 16? Is it 4x4? Is it 2x2? So here's where the Gemara elaborates. So the Mishnah we said, that Rabbi Elazar says, he actually gets 2 amas from where he is in every direction. He's in the middle, he gets 2 amas in every direction. Rabbi Yehuda came along and said, that no, he gets 4 amas. He has to pick one direction, but he gets 4 amas. But the question is, the Chum already said, ein le ela 4 amas. Then you have Rabbi Elazar saying 2 amas from where he is, and then Rabbi Yehuda comes along and says that no, he gets 4 amas. Why is Rabbi Yehuda? What is he adding to Chumim? Chum said you have 4 amas. Isn't that the same thing as Rabbi Yehuda? Says the Gemara. Rabbi Yehuda and the Tanakama. What's the difference between Rabbi Yehuda and the Tanakama? Amar Rava Shmaina al Shmaina Kebenayo. That means do you get 4 in each direction, which is 8x8, which is actually I think my math was off. I kept saying 16. It's 64 square amas. It's 64 square amas, right? 8 by 8 is 64 square amas. That's still a mistake that we did make. I kept referring to 4 by 4 as 16. It's not. It's 4 amas in each direction, which is 8 by 8. 8 by 8 is, of course, 64 square amas. So, Amar Rav Shmuel Ashbarnei Kaminayu. Tanya Mihachi.
Circle. It's a circle, not a square.
That's true. That's true.
So it's pi r squared.
Okay. Yeah. Technically, yeah, that's correct. Tanya Mihachi. Yesh le Shmuel al Shmuel. He gets Shmuel al Shmuel. What?
I don't recall that.
Okay. He has 8 by 8 according to Rameir. Remember, we have a Mishnah Chachamim, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda. And we have a Braisa that says that Rameir, who would Rameir be, makes sense the Chachamim, the first Shita. Rameir says 8 by 8. Okay, so before we get to the next Gemara, let's clarify. So now we have three Shitas. We have three Shitas. What a person has when he has no Tchum of 2000, he has, when he's restricted to what we call four Amas, what does he have? We have the Shitas Chachamim, which is saying is Rameir, which is that he has 8 by 8. So wherever he is, he can go 4 amas in every direction. So we'll go 8 by 8. We have the sheet of Blazer that says, no. 4 amas means for wherever he is, 2 amas in every direction. 2 by 2, terms of direction. And then we have Rabbi Yehuda says, no. Middle Shita. He gets a 4 square amas. He gets 4 square amas, but he has to pick a direction, and then we said the Mishnah, stick with it. Once he picks direction, he can't go to that direction. So he has to pick where he wants to go, his 4 square amas. I know you mentioned that maybe round versus square, but just for understanding purposes, I'm going to view it as if it's square, just so we get the idea. So basically, according to Rav Meir, it's 8 by 8, which would be like 64 square amas, theoretically, if you squared it off. According to Rabbi Yehuda, it's 4 by 4, which is 16 square amas, and he just has the option to pick. It's not surrounding him. He has the option to pick which way he wants to go. And according to Rabbi Eliezer, from where he's standing, he gets 2 amas in every direction, which is also, do the math, 16 square amas. Same thing as Rabbi Yehuda. The only difference is, according to Blazer, wherever he's standing, it surrounds him. He can't pick. According to Yehuda, he could pick and take all 16 to one side. And again, 60 could be lav dafka, to Yassel's point, because it could be a rounded circle as opposed to a square. That's correct. Okay. Says the Gemara, Va'amar Rav. Rav says, Machlekes lahalich. The Machlekes is Legabe walking. We're discussing over here, Legabe walking. Aval tato, when it comes to carrying, divya kol arba amas in tfeilei. No one says by carrying you get 8 amas. No one's going to reinterpret. We discussed the whole Masechta Shabbos. We spent so many blood, so many daf gemara on Itzah. Itzah was the biggest topic in the Masechta. It was about 35-40% of the Masechta spoke focused on Itzah. And one of the big dinim there is carrying dal amas which is rabim. No one's going to say that the dal amas which is rabim means 8 amas. It means 4 amas, maybe 4 square amas, but it means 4 amas. It means 4 amas, not, he has a 4 amma around him to walk, 4 amas circumference to walk, but not 8 amas. No one's going to say over there. Now, interesting. Let's look at the next line. Fahani arba amas hechiksivi. What's the source? What's the derisive source of these 4 amas? So, our Gemara is clearly talking about the sugya of tchum, within tchumim. We're looking for a source, whether it's a smachta, whether it's a derisive source, whether the tchum itself is in the derisive or not. This gets back to the whole Shaila, is Rabbi Akiva says even 2,000 amas is in the deraisa. Rabbanan say not, but even the Rabbanan we spoke of in the Shalmi says 12 mil could be in the deraisa. And we have other shenva arguments say no, even 12 mil is not the deraisa. So according to them, it would have to be a smachta. But the point is, our conversation is clearly talking about tchum. Rambam sticks in that this same source that we're about to bring for tchum is the source for carrying. That dal amas has a status. Legabe carrying, Rambam says this is the source. So this, the Gemara which is talking about tchum over here, and we just related to carrying a moment ago, a second ago. So the Gemara is going to, the Rambam learns this next Gemara as well is also bringing a source for carrying 4 amas. But who said that 4 amas of Shizrabim has status of carrying? Shizrabim, Shizrabim, we understand. Shizrabim is from Rishus Roshus. But within Rishus Rabbim, 4 amas, who says that's Chashim? It's going to be based on this Gemara. Let's see. Because the time we went to the Braisa, Shuvu Ish Tachtav, this comes when they went to go get the Mun. And Shabbos, they went out of their locations. So it says Shuvish Metachtav. So Moshe Rabbeinu says that each person should sit on that which is underneath him. Midashin Kitachtav. He was restricted to the area. Moshe Rabbeinu was saying that the people, since they left the Tchum, they're now restricted to the area that's underneath them. The Kamatachtav. How much of an area is underneath them? Gufay Shalish Amas. A person's body is 3 Amas. We know that's what we talk about when we talk about a mikvah being, having to be 3 cubic Amas. A person's body is 3 Amas. For Amak Dei Livshet Biyad Raglav, Devar Meir Meir says it's 3 Amas plus an Amma to spread his hands and feet. If he wants to stretch out a little bit, you get an extra Amas, so you get 4 Amas. So then we see that's called Tachtav, and therefore we know that the amount of space that a person could either walk outside his tchum is, he's restricted to 4 Amas, or according to Rambam also as well, it adds the din of carrying is carrying to be us, which is Rabbim, once it reaches 4 amas. We read the Aymer, same shear, but it gives a little bit of a different description. Gufay, it's not exactly the same shear, we'll see in a moment. Gufay, Shalish Amas, his body lying down is 3 amas. Va'ama, not about stretching, but rather kedei shiyutul chayfetz metachas ragloisav u'meneich tachas marshoisav. He may have a chayfetz like a pillow between his under his feet, and he wants to lift it up and take it put it under his head. So that extra space, that extra give, besides for the space of his body to take something from his feet to under his head, that adds up. That gives you to 4 amos. My bad. Now, by the way, it's a discussion in the Mefarshim. When we talk about this person's body being 3 amos, does it mean the body with the head, or does it mean the shoulders down to the floor? Okay. By the way, my bad. Now, it's a Yehuda Meir. They're giving different descriptions of why 3 amos needs a little extra, according to Meir, for stretching, according to Yehuda, for moving something from your feet to your head, but they both say it's 3 amos plus to get to 4 amos. What's the difference? At the end, it's 4 amos. What's the meaning with the descriptions? Ikabanayo, arba amos, mitzvah tzemes. Is it exactly 4 amos, or do you have a little more than 4 amos? That's the machlekes. Rashi learns what this means is that according to Meir, who says you're stretching, that adds up to a little more than 1 extra amma. So it's 4 ammas plus a little bit. Whereas according to Buddha, it's exactly 4 ammas. That's a Rashi notes. However, I mean, again, I don't know if this is a major nafkmina, but the Rif, the Rambam, the Rush, the Shulchan Aruch seem to bring its opposite. That according to Yehuda, it's a big nafkmina. I'm making a mistake. Based on what we just learned 2 days ago in Hilchos Psak, we pass like Machlokes Rami Yehuda, we pass like Yehuda. So it makes a huge nafkmina. So, according to other Rishonim, they learned that no, Rabbi Yehuda is the one who's going to have a little bit of a larger shear. Not Rami, which is a big kula l'maisa. If we pass like Rabbi Yehuda, according to the Rif, according to Rambam, according to Rush, and that's why it's born in Shulchan Aruch and Aruch Chaim, we're going to say that you have a little more than Amram, it's not exactly Amram, because Rabbi Yehuda's shear is a little larger, stretching is smaller, taking something from underneath the feet, above that, under the head, that is the slightly larger shear. Okay. Amar le Rav Mishar Shilavrei. So Rav Mishar Shilavrei said, Rav Mishashi said to his son, "Ki alis lekamei drav papa. When you go in front of papa, b'yimine ask him the following shayla. Arba amos she'amru, the four amos that we said. Just by the way, just a side point. We discussed last week. I forgot exactly when it came up, but we discussed about takanas going as far back zero darbanans, going as far back as Tanakh." So this would be a case if you hold Tchum as Rabbanan, or over here talking about Moshe Rabbeinu, telling them that they're restricted, it's Moshe Rabbeinu, telling them they're restricted to the land underneath them, right? So you see going back, and the first discussion, not Shver. You could have something from Moshe Rabbeinu's time. You say, of course, that'll be like, no, it could still be a Gezeira from the times of Moshe Rabbeinu. We also have, I think, about laning. The Gemara's lashon is Moshe was Masakah for Klal Yisrael to lane at certain intervals, right? That's Pashas out there, right? So, Rabbanan, Gezeira, so, I mean, there is discussions that even Erev was Masukah and ready for the times of Avram Avinu, right? He's Makban on Erevin, right? That's certainly for David HaMelech. What we discussed was David HaMelech. That was it. David HaShleima. We had a Gezeira that was back from the times of David HaShleima. Here we're saying that potentially even from the times of Moshe Rabbeinu. Agav, interesting point. In our minds, we think of Gezeira as being in the times of the Tanayim and the Mishnayos. It goes back further. Yes.
Right. But I figure this is talking about outside of 12 mil.
That, yeah, right. So I said that according to Yishalmi, that's what you could say. Anachami. Oh. Right. Anachami. Yeah, that's true. According to that, it wouldn't be Gzeir, it would be Deraisa. According to Rabbi Kiv, it's also Deraisa. Yeah, and Achrami. So again, so Rav Mishashi told the son, when you go to Rav Papa, ask him about these Arba Amas, how do we measure them? Ba'ama Didei Yavinalei? Or Ba'ama Shekodesh Yavinalei? Do you measure by a person's personal Amma? We'll explain that in a second. By a person's own Amma? Or by the Amma Vekdesh? Amma Vekdesh, you know, was 6 Tvachim. We had this not so long ago, the difference between the 6 Tvachim Ammas or the 5 Tvachim Ammas, right when we saw the Masechta, we discussed this. So, is it the Amma of Hekdesh, which is 6 Tefach Amma, period? Or is it the Amma of the person? The Amma of the person is, if you go from a person's elbow to the top of his finger, is the standard an amount that's usually given as an Amma. That's called an Amma. From a person, from his elbow, top of his fingers, Amma's, again, average person's changed in size over the years as well, but the average person today, it would be a little more than 12 inches. It would actually be that, hence the shear somewhere between 15 inches and 2 feet. Okay. But anyway,
that's how you measure your waist as well on a pair of pants.
What do you mean?
From your elbow to the tips of your finger. If you put your waistband in your pants like that, it should be the width, circumference of your waist.
Maybe that's how it should be. I don't think it's like that for everybody. Okay.
Yes,
it is. So the shaila is, do you go based on each person's individual size or based on a standard size based on the Amma Shekodesh, which is basically fancy saying 6 Tvachim. So now Rav Mishashi continues with his advice to his son that he's getting his instructions when he asks for Papa. If Rav Papa's answer to you is that we give the Amas of Kodesh, then ask him, if Ayim HaChabashim gets stuck out of the Tchum. Again, this shayla, by the way, I didn't elaborate what we're talking about. We're talking about 4 Amas, Pashat, about Tchum. Person's out of the Tchum, he's restricted to 4 Amas. What type of 4 Amas? His 4 Amas based on his size, or 4 Amas based on the Mikdash? That was the shayla. Again, Shulchan Aruch says, same shayla would be relevant also for carrying, when you talk about carrying in a public area, is the forearm is based on his size or forearm is based on the mikdash? Again, kind of like the Rambam said earlier, the Shulchan Aruch brings it over here. Same idea. Okay, so it's Seder of Papa says, Rabbi Shashi to his son, tell Rav Papa, if you tell me it's a standard size, Ayim HaChmashin is huge, and the question is just representative of large people. What's going to be a very large person? He's going to be restricted to four amas. That's so small for him. Doesn't make sense. I'll tell you. And if he tells you that it's measured based on a person's personal size, so asking the following question, why don't you list in the cases of the following things that are based on the person's own size, which is a Mishnah in Kalim in the 17th Barak. We've actually referenced that Mishnah in that's what this is about, where we discuss that person's the shear of the Kohen Gadol of it's coming up tomorrow, Mitzvah Shem, Monday on Yom Kippur, the shear of the Kohen Gadol that he brings into the Malei Chafnav, two handfuls of Keteris, Lefnaiv Lefnim on Yom Kippur, the shear of a Kaimetz of every Kohen. Whenever he does a kaimetz, the shear of the kaimetz it fluctuates from the shear. I think there is a minimum shear, but the overall shear fluctuates based on the size of the kohen's hand or the kohen gadol's hand by the malei chafnav kippur. And the mishnah gives various dinim that are related to the person's personal size. Why is this not listed amongst them? That's the question. Why is this not listed amongst those items? That's what you should ask Rav Papa. Kiyasla came to Rav Papa. When he came to Rav Papa, Amalei said, if we'd be medayik, Rashi says, in all of shas, like you're saying, why we have a mishnah that gives cases and didn't list every case and medayik like that, you won't be able to learn anything. You tack a right. It goes based on the person's personal ama. With kashlach, my time, and even though he already deflected by saying, if you've been dying so much in every mission, it's an interesting question because the Gemara does ask this question, Kaseder. Now the mission gave a list and left out of the list. The Gemara does ask the question often, but my shari, dai shari. What else did it leave out that left out this? It has to leave out more than one thing. We've had that question many times in Shas, but okay, so he deflects it and says, first of all, you can't be medactic that it left out a case, big deal. The case, the halach is, it goes based on each person's personal size. Seemingly, and he's not bothered by the fact the Mishnah left it out. But he answers anyway. He says, with Gashlach, my time, like telling Gabi Yeshem, why was listed the Mishnah? Tlepsikli, because it's not exact. It's not exact, meaning it's not across the board. Mishnah, the Ikananis Bey Varav, you give a person that is regular sized, meaning height, and has a small Ivarim. Unfortunately, sometimes people are regular height, but the Ivarim have a small hand. They have hands that are disproportionate to their body. Such a person, if his height is regular height, it's pashut, that would be pashut, that he's going to get the shear of a person who has regular sized arms, he'll get that shear of Dan Amas. And therefore, to make a klal and say a Mishnah that goes based on each person, it doesn't always go based on each person. And therefore, the Mishnah didn't list it as a case. But the general lach is that you do go based on the person, so Agma Chabashan would get a bigger Dan Amas to move around than a regular sized person. We said in the Mishnah, if you have two people who have Dal Amis, three people that added the Tchums, and they each are now restricted to Dal Amis. Two people's Dal Amis, we said, abut each other, they go right next to each other, their edges go right next to each other, but they do not overlap. And then the third person, his Dal Amis happens to overlap. We just put in the middle two Amis with the guy on the right, two Amis with the guy on the left. So we spoke out, the guy in the middle can share his food and can bond with people, both the people on the outside, but the two people on the outside cannot bond with each other. Okay, so then in the next part of the mission was, Rav Shimon says, I'll give you a mashal. Three chatzeres. You have three chatzeres all side by side. The one in the middle made an air for the two on the outside. So he can join in and they could join. He could join with them. They could join with him. Two on the outside didn't make an air with each other. And therefore they can't connect with each other. A mashal to the case behind the mission. Ask who needs mashal? Who needs a mashal? What was complicated about the case that you need to give a mashal, which seemingly doesn't add anything? Lamele Memer and the Mud of Damer. When should we have to give a mashal? The Mud of Damer. Hakam the Rabshim. This will be focused on the Daf. This topic will be focused on the Daf. Very fairly straightforward. Hakam the Rabshim and the Rabbanon. Michti the Mud of Damer. He meant to ask us a question. I'm going to kill the suspense. Basically, what we're going to come out with is he wasn't bringing a mashal in order to explain the case of Dal Amis. He was using it to set up to have a question legabe the case of Chatzeris. And he says as follows. What's it comparable to the three Chatzeris that are lined up side by side and they open the Shusvabim on the other side? That over there were saying that they made an air of the middle guys with the outside. Reb Shimon was telling the Rabbanim, why do you argue over there? Over there you hold that the two Ere Chatzeris cannot carry into the inner Chatzer. So we didn't know this. That's an interesting halacha. Reb Shimon says, I hold you can go the two outer ones carry to the inner one and vice versa. They just can't carry to each other from one outer one to the other outer one. But you, Rabbanan, and disagree. You hold you can't. Why not? That was what he's bringing up for. He wasn't bringing up to bring an explanation, a mashal for the case of the Mishnah. He's bringing up and saying, what's pshat over there that you argue? Why by also there you're masking by the two people in the outside? They could bond with the guy in the middle. They could share food with the guy in the middle, just not with each other. And over there, the chaseris is saying the outer people cannot join with the inner people. You seem to be makbid that no one can, the outer chaseris cannot utilize this Erev even with the middle guy. Answers the Rabbanan. Hasam, Rabban Hasam, Abshid, Yorin, Hachal Abshid, Yorin. It's very simple. In our case, in our mission, there's 3 people in total. And each one knows they could bomb with the guy in the middle, and they can't meet with the guy on the other side. And therefore, no concern that people will forget themselves. We're in a chatzir comprised of multiple people, many people coming through, and if people start seeing carrying from one outside to the inside, the other outside to the inside, it's inevitable that someone's going to end up carrying across from one outside across all the other outside, and it leads to a problem. Since it's multiple people, much harder to protect and much harder for people to remain cognizant of the limitations, and therefore over there, they hold it's no good. Whereas over here, even over here, it was okay. Weiter on that. Sugya Shtayim Chatzeres Vamai. We're saying the two out of Chatzeres in the Mishnah, we said, cannot carry one to the other. Ask the Gemara, Bob Kasha. Kivin Dive the Chatzeres by the other Mitzayas. Havlu Chada. Let's think about the math over here. If the outer Chatzer would call one on the one A and one B. If the outer Chatzer, there's, well, actually, that's confusing because there's one in the middle. Let's call it the Western, the Center, and the Eastern. If the one in the West made an error with the one in the center, and the one in the east made an error with the one in the center. So they're all bound together because the chayra, they're all considered connected with the one in the center. Because the whole idea of erev is we're being mishtatef that we're one entity. So everyone's one entity with the center. So it's one big area, all three chaseris. So why taka can't you carry two out of ones from one to the other? So Mar gives two answers. Amar Yehuda answered one question. Nasam says a ruva zu. The cases where the middle one put an erev in one outer chaser, and the middle one then put an erev in the other outer chaser. So it's not like the outer chaser is joined with the middle, even though ultimately when the middle one puts an error with the outer one, there is a partnership happening. But since it's the middle one that made one error with this outer and one error to the east and one error to the west, it made one error to each outer chatzer. Therefore, it specifically didn't join. The outer chatzeres have nothing in common now. That one error is situated in the western chatzer, one error is situated in the eastern chatzer. There is no error in the central chatzer, and therefore there's nothing binding the two outer chatzers. That's Rav Yehuda's answer. Rav Sheshes Amar, a few times Shnasu Erev Mem says no. The erevs are located in the center, and still is no good. You know why? Going Shnasnu top of Ambeis b'shnei batim. We're talking about the two chatzer, the two erevs. The west made an error in the inner chatzer, and so did the east. But the west put it in one house, and the east put it in a different house. And since it's different houses, it's not considered one big happy family. It's not considered one big Erev together. And therefore, there's two separate Erevs going on, middle with east, middle with the west, but the west and east are not connected. Says the Gemara, 1 second. Being that having an Erev two separate houses is an issue only according to Beis Shammai. According to Beis Hillel, it's good. And therefore, you're going to tell me this halacha and the Reb Shimon is going based on Beis Shammai. Come on. Ki Beis Shammai, tell me halacha based on Beis Shammai. The Tanya, we learned the Baisa. Chamisha Shagobas Eruvin, 5. Remember, if you're keeping track, I don't know what number of time this is, but we spoke out from the base of angle that the number of people in the Erev throughout the Masechta is always 5. Not always, but in many cases, whenever it talks about scenario of Erevin, Erev Chatzeres in particular, Erevin, 5 people. I forget if he even says the significance of why it picks 5, but he just says he had a list of over 20 places where it picks a case of Erevin, Erev Chatzeres, and it says 5 people. That seems to be the go-to number. Okay. Chemisha Gobel Erevin, I'm sure there is definitely some sort of exclamation. Could be he says himself. I don't remember seeing it. Chemisha Gobel Erevin, 5 people that, make an Erev together, unasum b'shtei kelim, and they put it in 2 separate kelim. B'sham Amar ain't Erevin Erev. B'sham says it's not a good Erev. B'sham Amar Erevin Erev. B'sham says it's a good Erev. So that's machlekes B'sham B'sillel. Are you basing your din on B'shamai? The Mishnah, you can't combine the outside ones within the two outside ones because it was put into 2 separate batim. You based on B'shamai as opposed to B'sillel. Answers the Gemara fairly straightforward. Forward deflection. The discussion there was 2 kalim in one house. 2 kalim in one house. B'sham Basil says, no problem. 2 separate kalim in one house is considered a good Erev. They're all bound together. According to B'sham, it's right there. It's still no good. But 2 separate batim, even Basil may agree. That's not considered a good connection. And therefore, if it's even according to Basil, that's the issue. The issue is it's 2 separate batim. Amar Lay. So again, according to Yehuda, the issue was that the people in the inner chatzer, the center chatzer, made a separate Erev. And the Erevs were situated in one in the east and one in the west. So the Erevs were never bound in the middle to combine everything together. That's Rehuda's answer. Rav Sheshes' answer was that the Erevs from each side, they were in the center, but the Erevs were placed in 2 different houses in the central chatzer, and therefore it doesn't bind everything together. Ask the Gemara Kasha, both Tretim. I can ask Kasha both Rav Yehuda and on Rav Sheshes. He says, what's the case? The people in the center, they made an Erev in the west, and they made an Erev in the east, but no Erev in actually situated in the center, and therefore it doesn't connect. So yes, Gshmak Akasha says Ravia, Rav Acha, Breda Vivia, the Kiban de Im Ivra, Emsas Bati Chatzena. Pick which side went first. Let's say this one in the center, they made an Erev with the west first. Let's just say they made an Erev with the one in the west first. Now, what does that do? It binds the people in the center, the Chatz in the center, and the Chatz in the west. It becomes one. So then when the people in the west go and make another Erev with the people in the east, That's Vaiter one. So it should write the work. Says Mara. V'kivin d'ir v'am says v'adi chatzayna. Hav v'chad becomes one. V'chiyad r'ar v'adi yidach. When you go now to the east, when you go to the second side, the second chatzar, to make an Erev with it, shtuchas l'avde. It's like they're doing it on behalf of the whole group, and therefore, it should work and make it one big entity. Why doesn't it work? That's a kasha on a v'yudut v'shad. And furthermore, on a v'sheshes. V'sheshes kasha v'sheshes v'shad too. Why? Tavik chamisha shishrim b'chatzar achas, v'shachar echam evel Erev, da'asri adadi. Manav shach. If you're telling me the two outer chatzars are bound with the inner chatzar, they're just not bound with each other, but once they're bound with the inner chatzar, that means Lagabe Shabbos, we view the chatzar to the east as if they're part of the nechatzar. We view the chatzar to the west as part of the nechatzar. But if they can't work with each other, you know what that's like? What if I have a chatzar of, again, noticed, five people? It should be a chatzar of five people. Then what? The four that made an Erev joined in, and one didn't join in. We spoke this out in the past, that if the person is away for the Shabbos, that could be it's okay. But if a person is, maybe you could do it zachen, a lot of them should have fun, maybe we could do it as a schuss, which is yesterday, maybe do a schuss for him. But the point is, if a person does not join in and there's no option to do it on his behalf, it's too late Shabbos, it's no good. It's us for everyone because you're missing one of the people who have access, who have ownership in the chatzar. He's missing as part of the Erev, and therefore we solve the problem. It's not as if it belongs to one person. It's not, they were mishtatev all together. It's one person. So here too, the people from the east and west are not mishtatev with each other, and they're all in the center. So you got a problem with the whole Erev shouldn't work. It shouldn't work for anybody. As I affect Rav Achaber Devivya on Rav Sheshes Pshat. Answers the Gemara of Ashi says back to him, I got an answer for you for both the questions. Like Rav Yehuda Kasha, like Rav Sheshes Kasha. Not sure Rav Yehuda, not sure Rav Sheshes. Once, when the middle one makes an Erev with the Chatzayna with the outer one, you're right. On the one hand, you could say that once you made an Erev with the outer one, you kind of become like one, and therefore you should be operating perhaps as a Shliach for both of them. But look what happens. Since the one in the middle made an Erev with both outer sides, and the outer ones didn't make an air with each other, it's almost like a gila das that we don't want to be together. It's almost like you have a das fakert. A das fakert, the ones in the middle cannot represent themselves and their group next door and the group in the west. They can't represent them all to make an air on everyone's behalf if the ones in the west don't want it. Now, it's funny. They didn't say they don't want it, but the fact that only the ones in the middle are being proactive and making an air with the two outer ones, but the outer ones aren't dealing with each other. So Rabbi Huda could tell you that looks like as if they specifically don't want it, and therefore it's not going to work. That is a deflection on behalf of Yehuda, and Uv Sheshes like Asha, that's a very geshmakatayna. That you're telling me that because you made an Erev for the west with the center and for the east with the center, you now should have a new problem that you have people within the center that aren't Erev with each other, and that's as if you're missing one person with Erev. Not so fast. The whole din Rabbana made, allowing an Erev, is a kula. Now that's, I mean, really step one, step two. Midaraisa, you don't even need Erev in the first place. The whole din that you need Erev is a gzeira Rabbanan, that it looks like Rishas Rabim, and therefore it's a public area, therefore you need an Erev. Fine. But once we need an Erev, the Rabbanan allowed a Ruvi Chatzeris as a kula to tell me that my Erev joins the west, let's say, with the center, to now make a problem, because now it's not joined with the other people from the east, to make an issue out of it, that you don't say. You only say that the diurim, we view them all as if they're dwelling together in one house. The kula, we don't say lechumra, and therefore wouldn't be a question on Rav Sheshes. One more din, then we'll stop. Amar vidim Rav, zudivir b'shimin. This is the words of Shimon, meaning the way we have our Mishnah, the statement that we have, that carrying between the outer and the middle is mutter, is permissible, just the outer to each other's asr, as of Shimon. The Chum say that the one Rishus could be used by two Rishus. One could be used by two, but two cannot be used by one. What does that mean? What that means is that Rabbi Shimon was allowing outer Chatzeris to carry into the inner, and inner can carry to the outer. Makes sense. Two-way street. You just can't carry from one outer all the way to the other outer. You can't have something go from one outer to the other outer. That is Rav Shimon's pshat. That is Rav Shimon's shita. The Rabban argument said, no, the outer ones are okay. They can utilize the inside. They can carry from the outer chatzar into the middle chatzar. But the middle one, the chatzar in the middle will not have the rights to go and carry from their house into any of the outer chatzars. Rabbanan more machmer, and they say once it's not working for the outer ones to carry to each other, it won't work either for the middle to carry to the two outer. Only for the outers to carry to the inner. That is Rabbi Yehuda Merav's version of the Machlekes, Ki Arbas Kavei Shmuel. When we said over this, Rabbi Yehuda, remember, was famously a Talmud of both Rav and Shmuel. Rabbi Yehuda says, when I said over this psak from Rav, I said over to Shmuel, he said that, I shouldn't say psak, this description of the Machlekes, of the Rabban and Rabbi Shimon, I said over to Shmuel, where Rav held, Amrli said to me, no, top of a Metes Baralf, Avzu Divir Shimon, then no. What you just said was Divir Chamim, which is that the outer ones can carry into the inner, but the inner can't carry to the outer. That's the Mochamer Shita you said in the Rabbanah? No, that's Rav Shimon Shita. And the Rabbanan hold, Avachamayim Shleishan Asur. Chacham say that all three Chatzeres Asur. He can't carry anywhere to anywhere. It doesn't work at all. Says the Gemara, Tanik Avasar, Rav Yehuda, Alibid Rav Shimon. We have a Braisa that very clearly backs up Rav Yehuda's version. They send their Alibid Shmuel, I'm sorry, in the name of Shmuel, that what? That the more Chametic version that even Rav Shimon doesn't allow carrying from the middle to the outer ones, and the Rabbanan don't allow anything. Why? We see this. It's black and white. Amar Rav Shimon, Lamad Rav Demar, Rav Shimon say, what is it comparable to? The Shash Chatzeres, the Psuchos, the three Chatzeres open one to the other. Upsuchos, the Shravim, open up the other side to Shravim. Ir Vushtaim, Ham says, if the two outer Chatzeres made an ear with the middle Chatzer, Zumavim, Tech Base of Echelos, this one outer Chatzer can bring from his house and eat in the inner Chatzer. Zumavim, Tech Base of Echelos, this outer Chatzer can go into the middle Chatzer and eat. Zumachzeres, Maisra, the Tech Base, and this outer Chatzer person can take back leftovers and go back to his Chatzer. And Zumach Zeres Meisra and Lusech Meisra, and this other person's chutzer, the other person from the outer chutzer on the other side can take his meisras back to his chutzer. Notice the whole focus is on the outer chutzer and bringing into the middle inner chutzer. No focus, even in Reb Shimon, from the middle chutzer going to outer chutzer. You know why? Because like Reb Shimon, it's funny. Like I keep saying Reb Shimon, it's like Shmuel. It's a not a clear raya, but I mean it's not black and white. But the diak is certainly mashmak Shmuel. Avachamayim, here it is. Here's more clear. Avachamayim shloshin asuris. The Chacham can say that all three asur. Here it's not a black and white. Avachamayim shloshin asuris. The Chacham say that all three asur. That's exactly like Shmuel's version, which is the Rabbanan say everything's asur, and even Reb Shimon only allowed outer to inner, not inner to outer. But according to Rav's version, even the Chacham allowed the outers to come to the inner, just the inner can't go to the outer, and Shimon allowed both directions, so clearly this price, it's taka clear, take it back, it's black and white, clear, like the Rabbanan. We'll pick it up at Shem tomorrow morning, to clarify the Rav Sheshes' answer. So again, Rav Sheshes, the answer on Rav Sheshes is that this din of Chatzer, that we view the people as if they're all dwelling in one house, is a takana of the chum, and that since we say you cannot carry in a chutzer, a person has his own private house, private chutzer, it's walled in, he has no issue carrying. It's when it's multiple people, is when it becomes an issue to carry. So if we have multiple people, multiple houses, in a chutzer, we say you make an heir, we join them together as if they're in one house, they become the diurim, they all dwell in one house together, it becomes like one bias, one chutzer, and therefore one bias with its own chutzer, of course you're allowed to carry inside. That's the lumdus, that's how the eruve chutzeris works. So says the Gemara on behalf of Rishashis that Ravashi answers, says that when you have, let's say, people from the west, they're joining in with air for the people in the middle. That's enabling them to be considered like one. They're like one bias in order to enable them to be able to carry between the two chatzeres because they become like one. They become like one entity. So to use that now, when the people of the east join into the center as well, and say because the people in the west and east didn't join with each other, now these multiple dwellers create a problem as if there's a person in the chatzer who's not joining into the eruv. They're not really part of the chatzer. They really each, these guys live in the west, these guys live in the east. They're only joining in a lumdish way to be able to, with this eruv, to be able to carry from west to center and from east to center, but not that they're actually dwelling there. So to use as a chumrah and say you have someone who's dwelling there who's not joining in, the chumrah you won't use. You only use it for the kula, not for the chumrah. That's the idea.